breakout sessions at church camp is that for those that lead them, the session cannot be connected to one's self-esteem, especially when there is a lake and a kayak and other such wonderful things around. So I'm going, just the way it is, and that's fine. I'm going to pray and then we'll begin. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to speak some of your work within the Home Mission Board of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. We thank you for all the great work that you have done throughout the ages in taking what was a very small band of Scots Irish immigrants and has made it not only a denomination, but even a global community. We thank you, and we do pray that today would be informative as well as equip us better to pray. And we pray in Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the Home Mission Board and some of the church planting in the RPCNA. I'm going to begin by reading from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I'll read about 8 verses. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says, "You have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is raised from the dead, and he calls for the disciples to be gathered, and he says that as you're gathered, you're going to receive power from on high, from the Holy Spirit, and when you receive power from on high, you are going to go from Jerusalem to these other parts of the nation and outside of the nation. So Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then when we look at Acts 28, which is the last chapter of the book of Acts, you can see how dramatically I can turn all these pages. When we get to Acts 28, here's the last verse of the book of Acts. You think about the way that many of the books of the Bible end. And Acts 28 ends with this: "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, forbidding, or no man forbidding him." So it's the Apostle Paul preaching. And Acts begins with a clear command to go and do all of these things. And it ends how? It's unfinished. It ends almost mid-sentence. Paul is preaching, end of book. Okay. The Home Mission Board of the RPCNA is a part of the continuing legacy of the book of Acts. Now, I'm not saying we're inspired. I'm not saying that what I say should go in the Bible. It's not the point. But the continuation of church planting, not only in North America, but in other parts of the world, is a continuation of the work that God is doing and the promise that was given to the church as the Holy Spirit was given with that power. Now, I would say that the apostolic mandate for preaching and teaching and raising up churches is something that is shared within several of the boards of our denomination. Okay? So, the Home Mission Board, we're church planters. Obviously, the work of the fulfilling of apostolic mandate is part of the work of the Home Mission Board. I would also say that the Global Mission Board, who we heard from yesterday with Heather, the Global Mission Board is part of that apostolic mandate. And then we have a few other boards that still fall under that category of global, such as CASA. Mark England serves on CASA, and we have a commission called the East Asia. So Global Mission Board, CASA, and East Asia, along with Home Mission Board, are helping to fulfill this mandate that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. But I would also say that one that was mentioned earlier today, Vital Churches, is part of that as well. Because part of the apostolic mandate was to go back and to visit those churches and to check on the welfare and the well-being of those churches. And then the other that I would put within that apostolic mandate is the seminary. So if you guys ever come to me and you say, Pastor Nathan, I have $5 million, how should that be divided in the church? The committees that I just mentioned, or the boards that I just mentioned, those are going to be the ones that I promote. You know, nothing against Geneva College, nothing against the RP Home, but thinking about the apostolic mandate within the New Testament, the boards that were just mentioned are those that fulfill that mandate. So we're going to look some at the work of the Home Mission Board. The history of the Home Mission Board, like we think about how the Home Mission Board helps to equip church planters, and we send out church planters, and we want to see a church planted in a specific area, whether it's a city or a suburb or whatever. But that's not how the Home Mission Board was originally set up and designed. We originally had several ministries around the nation that were specifically towards minority communities. So we had a Chinese ministry in Oakland, and that went from 1895 to 1920. And we had Jewish outreach in both Philadelphia and Cincinnati. And we had service to freed African Americans called Freeman in Alabama. And Paul, actually, part of his youth was spent in that congregation, the whitest man to ever enter Selma, probably. And then the poor of Appalachia, that's not an ethnic minority, but it is a people group that were poor and underserved. And then we had Native American ministry in Oklahoma between 1889 and 1970. So the Home Mission Board and what we see today, when we think about how the Home Mission Board goes back into the 1800s, we weren't always saying, let's plant churches in this community or plant churches in that community or plant churches in that community. The way we used to think was, here's an ethnic minority that we can serve. Here's an ethnic minority that we can serve. Here's an ethnic minority that we can serve. And that has transitioned over time to be church planting. So the current makeup, the way that the board is made up, this will be quick, but the board is made up of representatives from each presbytery. So we have a Pacific Coast rep, and then you can go through the presbyteries, and you may recognize some of these names. Each of the presbyteries of North America have representation. That way, when we come together as a board, we are able to make decisions knowing or seeing the big picture, rather than just the Home Mission Board having like five or six people elected by synod that may or may not be in each of the presbyteries. And we also have Vicki Smith, who Barry mentioned earlier, left RPTS for, is it Trinity? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Trinity, it's a high school, right?
And she left me right before she went to the home mission.
I know. We did talk about that, but I was like, no, stay at the seminary. So Vicki is a member. Historically, when the home mission board had, or the denomination at the national level had what was called Women's Missionary Fellowship, and that closed several years ago, less than 10 years ago. And we still had it in our books that we were to have a female member from the National Board of Women's Missionary Fellowship. And I said, we don't have that board to recommend this position to the Synod, so how are we going to do that? So this year we worked through some of our bylaws so that we're able to have a member from what would have been Women's Missionary Fellowship. And as I've served on the board in the last 10 years, the insight from a woman who has been part of a church plant is very, very valuable in the life of a board. So that's the makeup of the board. Jim McFarland is also, he's the denominational treasurer. He'll be the one that, while the ideas are flying around, he's crunching numbers and saying, well, that's nice, but that ain't going to happen, and other things like that. That's what Jim does. So we have several goals in the Home Mission Board. Establish and promote congregations throughout North America by presbyteries. So if you think back on that list of representatives, we have a Japanese presbytery, but there's no Japanese representative on the Home Mission Board because Japan is not under our board. This is only North American churches, and then we've actually tightened that up more in the last couple of years where we said we would like Mexico to, in a sense, belong to global missions as well because they're too culturally different for home mission planting. That's more appropriate towards global mission planting. Facilitate new congregations in North America. We provide counsel, encouragement, resources, and training to presbyteries. So I'll get phone calls from elders or pastors that are serving in church plant settings, and they have questions for me, and I give counsel and encouragement and recommend that they talk to others or read this book and those sorts of things. We have financial aid that we provide. So if your congregation has a group of people coming from a distance and you say, you know, this could be a really great little church plant to get started, but we just don't have the finances to do it, but I could really see this taking off, that's a discussion that you would have with the presbytery, and then the presbytery can request funds to make that happen. We encourage presbyteries to train qualified persons for church extension, promote in the church the understanding of the relationship between doctrine and evangelistic work, and encourage the church towards repentance of carelessness and continued renewal of faithfulness in the essential work of evangelism. So churches that are not repenting for a lack of zeal and a lack of desire to see the gospel go forward, they grow really insular. And when we are happy to repent and happy to share the gospel and happy to have that desire to church plant, we see presbyteries grow and help develop the outwork of evangelism in the church. Some of the finances, this is the nitty-gritty. We have internships that we do. Gabe Wingfield is in Daniel's congregation as an associate pastor, and that's actually resident and training support. So we have funded him for that. We do pastoral internships, evangelistic training, and then the one that's the most common is called six-year reducing aid. So if you plant a congregation, you have 6 years of funding that comes from the Home Mission Board, and that funding decreases. Well, the hope is that as you're growing, the funding from internal is going to grow as well. The 2020 vision, how many have heard of the 2020 vision? 2020 vision is something that was adopted in 2005 for church planting. The idea or the vision was to have 100 RPCNA congregations by the year 2020. And this was a big task for a small denomination because at the time there were only 77 congregations. And today we currently are at 104 congregations and mission churches. So that within a 15-year time frame, there was a 35% growth in congregations. Now that does not mean that our membership as a denomination has increased that quickly, but the places where the gospel is going forth in communities has increased tremendously within the last 15 years. Now let's talk about our presbytery, make it a little bit more specific to our own context. Thinking back, not current ones, not within the last 5 years or 10 years, let's think historically. You know, there's a few in this room that can do it. Ingrid, you're going to help me out here. Can you name some old church plants within the Pacific Coast Presbytery?
Oh.
You know one?
Los Angeles?
Well, that's going way back. Yeah, that's good.
San Diego.
Okay, so what year is San Diego? Do you know?
15.
You got it.
51.
With J.D. Egger. So yes. San Diego, 1951. Another one.
Walnut.
What time frame? 1970s. So San Diego, 1950s. You go a little bit behind that. You go Phoenix, late 40s. Okay, Walnut, 1970s. Orange County in the 90s or 80s. Okay, others?
Alaska.
What year on Alaska?
Was that 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that sound right? 80s into early 90s? Okay, so you can think as a small presbytery, we ask the question, what are historically some of the church plants that we've done? We can go back like 70 years and name five maybe, right? San Diego, 1950s, Walnut, Orange County, Alaska.
Portland. Portland, not the most recent one.
Yeah, Portland was an old established congregation that, yeah. So less than five in historic church planting. And then how about some new church plants in the Pacific Coast Presbytery?
Vegas.
Okay, Reno.
Vegas.
Squamish.
Irvine.
West Vancouver. James, wave.
Yeah.
West Vancouver right there.
Tucson.
And that
Portland.
Close. In Portland. Close also. Anything else? Don't miss anybody. They were a church plant that came in. So. But think about that. That's within the last maybe 5 years, we have almost twice as many church plant experiences or church plants than we had in the last 60 years as a presbytery. That's fantastic, right? That's something for which we should give thanks, and we should give God glory for that. And we should desire to see that momentum grow within our presbytery. Because, you know, thinking back on Acts 1 and thinking back on Acts 28, we have a responsibility to not only be locally preaching the gospel, but to think about the next sphere, the outer sphere, and then going beyond that as well for preaching the gospel. And these are things that we have seen in the RPCNA and especially in the last several years in the Pacific Coast Presbytery. Our Directory for Church Government, probably not something that you're reading devotionally very often, but it's there if you ever want to read it. On page D33, it says, presbyteries should make a careful survey of the territory within their bounds with a view to establishing preaching stations in needy fields which might be nurtured into congregations. Okay, so presbyteries are to make that survey. Now that's, you know, our officially the presbytery meets and we talk about, you know, we'd like to see a church plant here, or what connections do we have in this city? And what are some of those cities that you've heard from your pastors or your elders that are sort of on the heart of the presbytery? Not places where we are, but places where we would like to be.
San Francisco.
Hawaii.
Okay, Hawaii. Irene's ready to move to Hawaii now.
Sacramento.
Portland again.
Third time's a charm. Others?
Calgary.
Ryan, you've got some.
Boise,
Idaho.
Calgary.
Moving west.
Some of these cities could use several.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you think about the change of living in the United States the last 50 years. There's been a huge shift west. You know, the population is more western than eastern, I believe, for the first time in our history as a nation. And we have all of these great opportunities, and we ought to be praying for them. And when we look at our directory for church government and we see this, you know, we should make a careful survey of territory, you know, look at a map and see what places are there. But this is something that everybody can be involved in as well. This isn't something that just pastors and elders ought to be doing. If you have a heart for church planting, or if you have a heart for communities around you, or communities where you know friends live, these are things that you should be bringing up to your pastor, bringing up to your elders, saying, hey, I know people in, going back to Portland, I know people in Portland that would like an RP church plant. Can you at least make some contact with them? You know, and we need to start thinking in those ways so that we can expand as a presbytery. Because it's really easy, and we've done this, the church can get into survival mode. And when things are not going great, and numbers are decreasing, and budgets are decreasing, and as congregations get older, and as children, you know, you don't see as many children in the congregation, it's real easy to come around and to make
circle the wagons.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of, but couldn't say it. Circle the wagons, where we just are wanting to protect ourselves. And we as a presbytery need to be encouraged that the Lord saw us through a time like that. And that time is no longer. That's something that we should be very, very grateful for, and something that we should give Him glory for. And to not continue with that mentality that just says we need to protect, we need to protect, we need to protect. But we need to be thinking out there. We need to be thinking about the expansion of the kingdom even within our own presbytery. So stepping out of the PAC Pres and going wide RPCNA again, I want you to look at some of the church planting that's going on around the RPCNA. And we can think about how the RPCNA is a relatively small denomination. But think about what you see here. This is over the last several years. Harrisonburg, Virginia. North Hills, Pennsylvania. That's a Mandarin congregation. East Providence, Rhode Island. Daniel and Esther planted the East Providence, Rhode Island congregation. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I've always said it's funny that for a denomination that is a covenanter denomination, which our primary distinctive has to do with the magistrate, and then the fact that our roots are in Pennsylvania, that we do not have a congregation within the capital of Pennsylvania. That's interesting to me, but there's preaching that's going on there now. Atlanta, Georgia. Pageland, South Carolina. Louisville, Kentucky. First time in many, many years that we've had preaching going on in Kentucky. Terre Haute, Indiana. Bryan, Texas, Casper, Wyoming, Columbia, Missouri, Dallas, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, West Vancouver, James can tell you more about that later, Irvine, California, that's three Mandarin-speaking congregations on the list, Las Vegas, Reno, Squamish, and that's the map. So you think about the church planting in the denomination, and it's pretty well represented. You know, Daniel and I had a conversation last night about going to a three presbytery denomination, and we were going to take these churches and these churches, and that was going to be the coastal elite presbytery. And then there's the flyover presbytery, and then this down here will be vacation presbytery. But you see, look at our map, and you really see a good representation of the denomination. You don't see that there's just, you know, one presbytery that's carrying the load for church planting, so that we can say we are a denomination that cares about church planting. This is something that's going on across the map, and it ought to be something that encourages you. And then we want to move back to the Pacific Coast Presbytery. Is it 2:15 or 2:30, Ryan?
2:30.
Okay. And I want to ask or give you some information on what you can do to help. I hope that, you know, this really quick run through at least whets your appetite a little bit about church planting, and you say, well, you know, that's something I should be excited about, or maybe you're already excited about it and you want to do more. But here's some things that you can do to help. And I'm thinking about our own context primarily. So the first thing is pray. Like, if you're like, Pastor Nathan, I've got zero resources, I've got very few gifts, my abilities are pretty bad. Okay, you can pray. Please pray. You know, and all of us ought to be doing that. You can, like Heather talked about yesterday, you can look at a map. You can look at a map of our presbytery, and you can see the cities. And on a good map, the circle's going to be bigger depending on the size of the community. And you can pray that the Lord would have contacts to be made, or that the Lord would raise up church planters to go into those places, or that the Lord would raise up preaching stations where we can have the gospel go forth. The second thing you can do is promote church planting in your congregation. It's very, very easy for us to become centered on the ministries that are within our own congregation. You know, we're all churches with small budgets. You know, even our biggest congregations are really small budgets compared to much of evangelicalism. You know, we are a small denomination. And it's very easy to focus on the need to pay our own bills, the need to pay our own pastor, the need to pay, you know, for repairs that need to be done. But you can promote church planting. Think outside of your local congregation and be somebody that talks about this. Be somebody that dreams about this. You know, there's nothing wrong with just sitting down and dreaming about where the Lord may work, because those dreams can turn into realities. It's something that's worth doing. Thirdly, you can pick up the tab, or at least help. The Home Mission Board generally gives about $36,000 to $40,000 a year to a church plant. And you say, well, you know, I don't have $40,000 sitting around. Well, maybe you've got $100 sitting around and you want a church plant to pay their sermon audio bill for the year. That's really helpful. It's really helpful. Or maybe you could send a gift card to Staples to a church plant, because bulletins is going to be one of their expenses. You know, there are ways that you can help pick up the tab for church plants. And some of them are going to be things where you're probably not even going to notice it. You know, you always hear the, for the price of a cup of coffee, blah, 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 blah. okay, coffee's gotten expensive, and we're still drinking it, and there are church plants that would feel very blessed even to receive a small gift card in the mail and a note saying, you know, we've been praying for you. That's very encouraging. Barry was a church planter as well. He could probably tell you about those little encouragements that come. Prioritize the West Coast. Now, does that sound selfish? Sorry. But there are churches that need to be planted. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't care what Atlantic Presbytery is doing or we don't care what Allegheny Presbytery is doing. We do care. But we need to be thinking within our own context about church planting here, because that is what we do as Presbyterians. We are to think about our presbytery and the needs within our presbytery. That's not at the expense of the rest of the church. We love the rest of the church, but we don't let our own house fall apart because we're loving the rest of the church, right? We need to be thinking about the West Coast. We need to be thinking about what God can do here and get excited about what God can do here. Because I have talked to pastors or to members of congregations before that are often excited about what God is doing in other parts of the church, not just in our own presbytery, but what God is doing here and what God is doing here and what God is doing here. And you say, well, what's exciting in your own congregation? Or what are you excited about in your own presbytery? And they almost shut off. We should be excited about what God is doing on the West Coast. And we should be promoting that. And we should do some to prioritize that, at least in our excitement, in our resources, and the ways in which God could bless the work. We can also prefer. You could adopt a church plant. This is different from picking up the tab, in that you can adopt a church plant and say, I am going to commit to praying for these people. I'm going to commit to getting to know the pastor and potential leadership. I'm going to pray for the pastor's wife. And you can consider them something of an adoption of yours, something that you're committed to in your prayer life and getting to know them and finding out what's going on. And this is something I would especially encourage the women in the congregation towards. If you think about how a church plant may be adopted for your love and your care and your fellowship, often church planters' wives are among the loneliest people in the denomination because their husbands are alone, fighting the good fight alone. You know, presbytery, sometimes they'll call up, you doing okay? All right, that's great. Yep, all right, I need to get my report done, so thanks for the update. You know, and that's often, even within myself, that's often when I reach out to the church planters, when I have some report to write. And so the church planter's alone, and his wife is often alone as well. So I would encourage you to think about that with adopting a church plant, how you can bring encouragement to the church planter's wife as well. And then the reminder again to pray. When you don't know what to do, you can pray. You can always pray and ask that God would raise up and that God would bless and that God would cause the church to flourish. So those are the things that I think are important for us to think about when considering how we can help out with church planting and help out within the denomination. And there's our website if you have any thoughts or questions. So let me pause there, and we'll have some time left for questions if you have any. I know that's a quick run through. I have on the back table, these are magnets, so you can put them on your friend's fridge, like your PCA friends. You can put this on their car. And then there's these little cards, too, that talk a little bit about our church planting and ways that you can promote it and help. And then we have sweatshirts and T-shirts as well, if you want
if you want to purchase one of those. I didn't bring any because we camped and the car's full of people. But I do have those and can mail them. Esther?
On the interagency search planters thing, when we were first starting out, I think WMS was still functioning.
Yes.
Yep. And they put together a list of all the church plants and the names and ages of all the pastors' kids and their birthdays.
Yeah.
Which I felt was creepy when they called me to ask for this information. I was like, why do you need this?
Social Security.
But then each congregation that had a WMS chapter adopted a church. And
right.
Our kids' birthday card. And then a little financial gift, I think, maybe, I don't really, what I remember was the card. And praying for us, and for the, they were praying for us. And the WMS is gone, and isn't doing that anymore, but a congregation can still adopt.
Yeah, and that, and
those little specific things that encourage the pastor's family.
Yeah, and so congregations can adopt, and individuals can adopt.
Yes.
Like if you have the time and the organization to put names on your calendar to call and pray and those sorts of things, you can do that as well. Like, think about how easily it is for us to be obsessed with things and to know everything about certain things. Like, you know, some of you know that I collect dinnerware from the 1930s. And so sometimes people will say, you know, well, what year did that color get introduced? And I'll, all right, well, let me tell you about that. And I can tell you lots of stuff about useless things like dinnerware. You can get excited about a church plant in that way, too. And you can know the people that are there. And you can know the pastor's kids. And you can know the things that they like and dislike. And you can know the demographics of the neighborhood where they worship. And you can just get really excited about those things and help others get excited about them as well. So, other questions, comments? Paul.
Oh,
go ahead, Paul.
Two things. President's had the opportunity to be involved a little bit with the Reno work.
Mm-hmm.
As a treasurer, I have to be careful what I share, but I think I can share this. But I got an email once from one of the contacts in Reno, and he said, hey, I got this weird email from somebody that said, hey, we'd like to send you guys a check to help out with it. And he said, is it a scam? You know, he just didn't know. And it turned out to actually be the Providence Church was wanting to send funds to Reno. And it was just, I just sort of wanted to, well, thank you guys, but also just say, like, I mean, I cried over it. And, like, as a treasurer, you typically don't cry over your work. And it was an incredible thing. And I'm sure I felt that way just as the guy that is pushing paper around. But I think that was incredibly encouraging.
Yeah, those are huge. This year when Sam and Julia McCracken were, this year when they were having a lot of trouble within their family because of the loss of a baby and things, the Home Mission Board stepped in with some extra gifts, and it was like a no-brainer. We knew that he needed to step out of the pulpit for a while, so we paid for the pulpit supply for 4 or 6 weeks or something, and it was just like almost second nature to do that. Like, yeah, we're going to do that. And that little thing was so meaningful to that church plant, including your dad, who's on that session. And you know, those are two finance stories, but we heard a card story as well. So, you know, there are huge encouragements that you can give for church planting. And I think in some ways that one of the big reasons why church plants close, besides, you know, people stop showing up, there's a good reason to close, but it's discouragement. You know, just this feels like if you have 15 people that are showing up every week and somebody's preaching to them, you can feel like you're nothing, you know, on the map, that you're absolutely nothing. But when you realize that there's a whole church around you that are praying and supporting and calling and encouraging, that can be huge for a church plant. Lois.
Didn't we have truth or consequences 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the year on that. Ingrid, do you have that?
But
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Yeah.
There was one, something in
Jeopardy. Which is like a great Bible tract name as well, isn't it?
It was on Jeopardy once.
Was it?
Paul White was the pastor there.
Oh,
that wasn't the Jeopardy question, though.
No. Nobody knew the answer.
Huh.
Something.
So you know we've had a little bit of church planting in our 108 years as a presbytery, but not a whole lot. You know, think about there's seasons of church planting that seems to happen in the RPCNA, and you can look at presbyteries and you can say this was a good season of church planting for this presbytery. I think we're coming into a season of church planting within our presbytery. Paul again.
I said I have two things.
Here's your second.
What have you guys thought at all? I just sort of talked to a few people now, and a couple of them kind of church planters that have a hard time. And the 2x2 concept, you know, in terms of maybe don't send out a man and his family by themselves, send them out 2x2.
Yeah, so we're testing that in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where the Home Mission Board is funding not only a pastor, but an associate pastor. The associate pastor is a retired minister, so he's being funded about half. He's getting about half salary. But we're really testing that as a model. And as we think about the, you know, what some are calling the post-Christian America, which, you know, I like to call the pre-Christian America, but anyways, the post-Christian America, It may be the best approach for the future, for sure. Again, that's a huge funding thing. Like if Home Mission Board came and they said, well, you know, our budget annually is, you know, right around 250, but this year we're asking for 500 because we're doubling all of the manpower. You know, and a small denomination, that's going to be hard, but we do at least see the value in that.
Do all presbyteries have a regional missionary?
No.
Some presbyteries have a regional missionary.
Yeah, so currently there are, I believe, just two.
Is that Midwest and Allegheny?
Yeah, Midwest and Allegheny.
So the pastor you're referring to in Harrisonburg
is also
the
regional home missionary. So he's paid in part by the presbytery as well.
That's right.
So it's Paul Martin. He's in Harrisonburg, but he also goes down to Birmingham, and there's a few other very. Do you know off the top of your head? He does a few other things as well for church planting work as well.
Those are the two big.
Yeah, which are really far apart. Any other questions, Mark?
That's something for us to think about for Pacific as well, given the number of new church plants we have. At some point, if we could see our way free to having a regional home missionary,
right,
to be able to visit, to encourage, and to explore new works as part of his purview, that's something to consider for the future.
Yeah, that is something we do need to consider. When we think about church planting within our presbytery, we are really doing it by faith. You know, that's the only... That's all we've got. You know, people have asked me, why do you think things are going well in the presbytery as far as church planting? And I've said, because we pray and we fast. That's all we have. I mean, I'll tell you, we have our general operating fund for our presbytery has $6,000 in it. And we have a church planting fund called the Next 100 Fund, and it has $2,700 in it. And that's all the money we have as a presbytery.
$27.
$2,700.
Church plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next 100.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we, as a presbytery, have less than $10,000. Period. So how are we doing this? I don't know. We're, like I said, we're doing it by faith, and we pray and we fast. I'd love to have a home missionary. I'd love, you know, to be able to hire church planters to do parachute drops and other fun and exciting things. But we have $0. Not zero. 87.
the gift for Reno was a free will offering. Our deacons have quarterly a free will offering to give part of the worship service, and we pick up that's an easy thing congregations can do, is pick a church for that month and tell your community.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's time. I know you all want to go to the lake, so we'll pray, and then thank you for coming. If you have other questions, you can ask me, and if you would like to write a giant check to the Home Mission Board, I'll take that as well. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the work of church planting within the RPCNA. We know that we are but a very small piece of what you are doing in the world with bringing your gospel forth. We do thank you for the many great ways you have encouraged us as a denomination in the past several years. And we do ask, O Lord, that the glory of Jesus Christ would go forth, not only in the churches and church plants that are established within our presbytery, but all of these places on the map where there is not a reformed voice, where true gospel preaching does not occur. We do pray that you would receive the fullness of your inheritance. For Christ's sake and glory, amen.